Boker Tov, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot is Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Now, in order to get through this daf in one piece, what I'd like to do with you is to go through the Mishnah. And there are basically two, we're in the middle of one Mishnah. We're going to be coming up to its continuation. And the issue that we've been talking about since yesterday has been the question of what is the interrelationship of multiple Yevamot, where, as opposed to the normal case, which if you do Yibum or Chalitza with one, you remove the Zika and the other one is free to go. What do you do in a situation where there is two completely different dinim on each of these Yevamot? So we can imagine a case where one is a regular wife and the other is a ketana. You can imagine a situation where one is a regular wife and the other one is a chareshet. We can imagine a situation where one is a chareshet and one is a ketana. And of course, we have also considerations in the event that the person who is the yavam, we had not only the original marriage, is also in a state of not full competence. So we started off with the Mishnah, which I'd like to go over with you again, because we were in the middle of learning it yesterday, and we're going to be discussing the specific case today of Ketana v'Chareshet. So let's just go over that Mishnah and the following Mishnah so we get a clear picture of the issues that are involved. And then we can come back to today's Gemara, where we'll be discussing why is there a difference between a type of Kedusha Derabbanan, which is on the Chareshet, and a type of Kedusha Derabbanan, which is on a Ketana, because that seems not to fit into any of the issues that we've discussed so far in the Masechet. And that's what is really forcing us to create a new theory of the Kinyanim that the Rabbanan gave. We were never faced with this problem. And the Mishnah has raised a completely new world for us, which is complex. And therefore, let's take a look at the simple dinim as they're expressed in the Mishnah. So we want to talk about the first Mishnah, which we already learned, but we'll go over it again. So we had it yesterday. So we had the case of Mishaya Nasui, Shte Yitomot Ketanot. And we pointed out yesterday that if you're married, the brother is married to two Ketanot. So that means we're not talking about where they have any kind of relationship or anything here. They were basically two poor orphan girls, and this guy's a nice guy, and he married these from different families, and he dies. Now, what's the din? The din is exactly the same as it would have been if both of them were deoraisas, because always the Rabbanan pattern, whatever halakha they gave of a kiddushin on the dinim of the deoraisa, and therefore either the bia, the yibum, or the chalitza. Now, of course, you can't do chalitza when they're a ketanot, but the chalitza after they grow up of either one of them is going to be poteret sarata, because we simply took the deraisa and made it now. This is a drabbanan marriage, and therefore it's a drabbanan yibum, and therefore it has all of the same halacha. It's been a rabbanan that it would have had many raisa. Fine. The same thing is true if both of these children that he was married to were charashot. So over there, if they're charashot, they don't have to be children, obviously. So then it's exactly the same. The bia of either one of them is going to pot to the other one. Now, as we saw in the Gemara yesterday, it doesn't mean that the bia or the chalitza, because you cannot do chalitza with the chareshet. We discussed yesterday why you cannot do bia with the chareshet. And just to remind you, the Gemara earlier had come out that we can't do bia with the chareshet, with the chareshet, because of the fact that the chareshet is incapable of saying the words that she has to say, namely that me'en yabmi, my yavam doesn't want to do this yibum, and she can't say those closing words either, the chalutzanal, and the kacha yeah selaish, she can't say that. So even though normally not saying it is not ikuva, but if it's impossible to say it, then it is an ikuva because of the general rule of kol haroy labila, ain bila ma'akevet bo, but im ain haroy labila, bila is ma'akevet bo. That was the approach the Gemara took earlier. We mentioned yesterday there was a machlokas rishonim between the main proponents is the way Tosis approaches it and the way the Ramban approaches it. The way Tosis approaches the sugya is that when it says a chareshet, it means a complete chareshet. Eina midaberet, eina shoma'at. And why is the Gemara focusing on the problem of speech, where really there's a deeper problem, which is the same as when you don't have da'at, same thing as the katana. The katana in our Mishnah can only do chalitza after she grows up, but you need to have, after all, the definition of the chalitza, and if she doesn't have that, so she's like a katana, right? So Tosis explains that the case of a chareshet is not the same lack of das that we find in the katana, and that if you have a bezdin that is there and saying, this is what you should do, and this is what your kavana is in doing it, and that's why we're having you do it. And then she indicates with remises that she fully understands that, and she goes ahead and does it. The das of the bezdin would have been sufficient. That's Tosis's approach, because he's talking about a difference in a das to be kaina, or a difference in a das to do an action. And as we said, a das to do an action, if chalitza is an action, and it doesn't require the normal dinim of kinyan or anything like that, then bezdin's das is sufficient. The Ramban does not take that approach. And the Ramban says that the reason that we are talking about a chareshet is because we're using the word loosely. And when we say a chareshet here, we mean someone who cannot speak. We don't mean someone who cannot hear. Now we've got two people hiding out behind the same label. Same two people that last night missed shir at half a shir because they were pretending to be on the road. And now they're simply hiding their faces out of shame, I'm assuming. Well, it's okay. We welcome even shameful faces. So, continues the Mishnah. Okay, getting back now to the Mishnah. So even though it said the words that v'chein, it doesn't mean v'chein. It means if you are going to be doing the yibum, not the chalitza, to either one of these charashot, so it will pat to the other one. How about if he is married to one woman who is a pikachat, and one woman is a chareshet, and then he dies? So then, obviously, the real yibum over here and the real zika over here is only to the pikachat, because the other one was only married mid-rabbana. And therefore, if he does the heter of the pikachat, obviously that is going to pater the chareshet, because she has a very low-level connection to him. But on the other hand, if he is boyal the chareshet, ain biyat the chareshet poteret ata pikachat, because that's not a real marriage midiraisa, and how could you possibly take off a zika diaraisa with this act of bia that was only derabbanan? So that's clear to us. If he has two wives, one of them is a gedola and one of them is a ketana, it's the same situation. The marriage to the gedola, and when we say the ketana, we don't mean a ketana whose father married her off. We mean a ketana whose mother or brother married her off, which is only derabbana. So that would be exactly the same situation. He's got one wife who's a diaraisa, he's got one wife who's a derabbanan, and all it's saying is that a rabbanan yibum cannot remove a diaraisa zika. Whether they're a derabbanan is because she's a chareshet, or whether the derabbanan is because she is a ketana, it doesn't matter. So, okay, this would be in any case where you have a woman who is married minarabbanan, that obviously we would not be able to say that it's going to pater the diaraita. So that part makes perfectly good. But what about achat kitana? What about if you have someone who is married? We had one sec. Did I skip Yeah, the chen shtei charashot. No, I'm sorry, skip the essential point that we're worried about. And that is the ketana, the chareshet. How about if he's married to a ketana and a chareshet? So then we're not able to say that bia achat mehem is poteret sarata. That you can't say. And that was our problem. Why can you not say? If you have two Kiddushin Derabbanans, this is the big conundrum of our Mishnah. You have two Kiddushin Derabbanans, and you're telling me that one of them cannot pat to the other. If they're both the same Derabbanan, so that you're talking about two Ketanot, then one of them paters the other one. And if you're talking about two Charashot, then one of them paters the other one. But if one of them is a Ketana and one of them is a Chareshet, then you cannot pater one with the other. Why? That is our issue today. But before we get to solving that issue, let's continue, go through the next Mishnah so that we see the variations of the issues that come up. This is the next Mishnah we're going to be learning today anyway. So this guy, he was married to two yitomot, unrelated, and he dies. So then if a yavam is ba'al arishona, and then his chazar u ba'al ashniya, or for that matter, his brother ba'achiv al ashniya, what happens in that case? So then basically he does not have to get rid of the first one, because the idea over here is apparently that if the first one is actually a Kenyan, since they're both the same, so then the second one is not a problem, because whatever you did with the first one is the maximum that you can do to that Zika. I can't believe that they're sitting and watching Sesame Street in the middle of the Duff. So in that case, you would have no problem, because the two of them are the same, right? So whatever the din is, if the katana was a real Kenyan, now, there's one little bit of a problem over here, and that would be maybe they're not like the same. Maybe each one would be somehow a partial Kenyan, and therefore you don't really take care of the Zika. The Mishnah is saying that's not the case. The moment that one brother is on one of them, the Zika is over. Once the Zika is over, remember, we have a klal that we had earlier, which is ein acharei bia klum. You cannot aser a yavama by taking the other yavama if you had already been kenes the original the yavama. And therefore, it makes no difference what you did after you actually were kanas your vimto. So if that case, he is allowed to maintain his relationships, because they're both the same. Whatever the status was of the first one, that's the status of the second one, and there would be no problem. Now, he cannot, however, remain married to the second one, obviously, because in the event that he was kaina the first one, then the issue would be that he's going to be taking shnei batim. And of course, you're not allowed to take shnei batim. Now, it will turn out, gentlemen, that the only way that we're able to fully understand this Mishnah, in light of the strange statement in the first Mishnah, that a Ketana and a Chareshet have a different type of Kiddushin. The meaning, therefore, in this Mishnah is to clarify to us what that different type of Kiddushin would mean. And what we really need to understand over here is that actually, we are telling us a big chiddush in this case. Why? And here I'm going to leave you in on a secret as to how our Gemara comes out, because it will make it easier for us to approach the Gemara if we get a general sense of things. The secret is this. In order for us to understand that there's a difference between the marriage of a ketana and a chareshet, the way the Rambam explains this is that remember that there's two completely different purposes in this marriage. When it comes to a ketana, the Chachomim provided a din of kiddushin in order to protect the ketana. The question of whether she wants these Kiddushin is built into the takana of this Kiddushin. It's called Kiddushei Miyun, because basically, we have no idea whether this is going to last. All that we're trying to do is have her have somebody that is interested in maintaining a relationship with her and preventing anybody else from having a relationship. That's all that we want. Whether ultimately this will result in a real marriage when she grows up, or whether next week she's going to walk out on him, that's not our concern. On the other hand, where we have a chareshet, we have a totally different concern. Our concern on a chareshet is to provide her with the possibility of a stable life. It's a completely different issue because she's unable to accept a normal kedushin. So what we said is we will create a kedushin for her midrabana. Now, the difference between the results of those two approaches, the Gemara comes out, is that the kitana essentially boils down to a suffix kedushin, meaning we look at it as if she's knuya in one sense, because temporarily we're looking at it as if she's knuya, but in another sense, it's ena knuya, which means that as opposed to the chareshet, where we have a semi-kinyan, because she doesn't have the das to be able to enter into a kinyan, we call that, and this is an important word for you to register, that is called knuya umishuyeret. There, it's not a full kinyan because b'diraisa, you can't make a full kinyan. So the Rabbanan said, okay, so make a partial kinyan. When it comes to the ketana, we don't view it as a partial kinyan because it's a sort of temporary kinyan. And therefore, we always view it not because we have a suffix, but we view it as the equivalent of a suffix kedushin. Because she is Kanuya on the one hand, but she's not Kanuya on the other hand. But that means that every Kitana is possibly Kanuya or Ena Kanuya, because the outcome is always in doubt, so to speak. In other words, that's the existential vision of it. It's not that it really depends on the particular case. So we have a type of Kinyan that's called a Kinyan, which is Kanuya ve'ena Kanuya. And we have a type of a kinyan that is called a knuya umishuyeret. Now, the real meaning of this Mishnah that says that if he first took one and then took the other, he does not have to worry about it, is because basically it makes no difference to us. If you want to view the kedushah of ketana as being knuya, so then the first one was knuya and there's no room for the second one. If you want to view it as Ena Knuya, so then they were never married. So then why would one Aser on the other one? They're not related to each other. So no matter what, there's no reason for you to have to get rid of the first one, because she is definitely your wife, either because she was never the Pikeach's wife on the Tzad of Ena Knuya, she was never your brother's wife, or because she was your brother's full wife, so to speak, Minarabbanan, and now you took her B'yibam. But either way, there's not going to be any Zika that will allow the second Kitana to create any doubts about whether you're allowed to stick with her. Okay? So therefore, the Mishnah is really, even though it doesn't seem to be saying much, is really telling us sort of Mimanafshah. There's nothing to worry about the one that continues on, whether it's you yourself or whether it's your brother that was bo alashniya, it doesn't matter because lo pasal et harishona, and you're able to keep it. And that's a memunavsha. Okay. Now, what about if the shtei harashot? So the brother was married over here to two harashot. The yovam goes and he's miyabing one of them. And then either he or the brother goes and takes the second one. The same thing is true about the charashot, because basically the level of the kinyan is the same. And if that's the case, if the level of the kinyan is the same, so the second one was already removed the zika from her, and taking her is not going to create a problem for the other one. But here too, we get into the issue of what if one of them is a ketana and one of them is a chareshet. Now, in this case, let's talk about where the Yovam was ba al hakitana first, and then he's ba al hakareshet, or his brother is ba al hakareshet. He is not going to pasul the kitana. Why? Because if the bia of the kitana is a full kinyan, so then she is a full yevama, and there is no zika. And therefore, when he slept with this other woman, it was just basically a znut that he did, because she was a second wife, and he was already kaina, the wife of his brother, and he wasn't allowed to sleep with this woman. On the other hand, if we're going to view the bia ketana as not being a real kinyan, so she bichlal was never married, because she was never married to the brother. So, of course, she's not a yevama. And therefore, the idea of the ketana is you get to keep the ketana in this case, and you're not going to pasul her. Suppose, however, you were ba'al hakareshet first, and then either the same yavam or the yavam's brother was chazar ba'al haketana or sheba achiv al haketana. In that case, we've got a problem, because then you were pasuling the hakareshet who was your original yavama. Okay, so you see why we need to see this Mishnah before we can fully understand the previous Mishnah. This Mishnah is giving us other variations, and we're going to have to take all of these variations into consideration if we're going to be providing a solution. We can't deal with only one Mishnah at a time. So in this case, it's saying, obviously, that somehow or other, the Kedushin of the Ketana is more likely to pass the Chareshet, and the Chareshet is impossible for her to pass the Ketana. So what we understood, as I mentioned earlier, is that we have two completely different types of Kedushin over here. And since this Ketana is basically, in one sense, totally Knuya to him, because she is very likely, note by the way how the sugya before touches on this issue. Remember, we had that weird statement that the Kedusha Ketana is sort of hanging in the air, and we had this whole thing that she's thinking, Hu adif aminoi, v'ani adif aminei. All of that relates to this, because basically, so does the question of whether the Kedushin actually grows up with her, which is also another aspect of understanding the Kedushin of a Ketana. It is a Kedushin, but who knows whether anything at all would come out of it. And therefore, the Rabbanan did not provide it with an absolute status. It may be absolute, and it may be zero. Masha Einkein, the Chareshet, is definitely 50%. Now, you understand the confusion that that is going to create. So since the Ketana may be a 100% Kinyan, Midrabanan, and perhaps is a zero Kinyan because it may never work out, and that's how the Kinyan was originally designed, Masha Einkein, the Kinyan of a Chareshet, is definitely a 50% Kinyan. So therefore, if he first takes the Chareshet and then he takes the Ketana, he cannot keep that Chareshet. Because if the Bia of the Ketana is a 100% Kinyan, so then that means that she is his real Yavama. You can't say Ein Acher Bia Klum on the Chareshet, can you? Because that Bia we don't really know is good, and therefore it never totally removes the Zika. So you can see that it's going to be a problem. Pikachat v'chareshet. So what about in the case where we have a brother who's married to both a pikachat and a chareshet, and he dies? So then if the yavam was bala pikachat, obviously, if he's chazru bala chareshet, or the brother is chazru bala chareshet, he did not passel the pikachat, because a chareshet can't pass, so the vadai, once the zika was removed by the marriage to the pikachat, there's no problem in that case. And the chareshet, that was a biat znut, basically. Now, suppose bo yovam ala chareshet first, and then he's bala pikachat, or the brother is bala pikachat, since the chareshet is only a 50% kinyan, meaning it's kinuya umishuyeret, And the kinyan of the pikachat is 100% a full kinyan that passels the chareshet, because that we know that the taking the chareshet never removed the zika, and therefore we can't say nachar b'yaklum. And in this case, the question is the pikachat, what do you do with the chareshet? Fine. Maybe you give a get to the chareshet in order to potter her. That, yes. But the idea over here is that you certainly cannot keep the original pikachat if you have a definite breaker of the zika, if you have a definite breaker of the zika, namely the pikachat. So that sort of gives us the material that contrasts the chareshet with the ketana. And let's just finish it up by talking about a case of a gedolah ketana. The brother was married to a gedolah and a ketana. With the same situation, if the Yavam was Bala Gedola, and then he or his brother, Chazru Bala Ketana, or Shabal Kevala Ketana, of course you cannot pass on the Gedola, because the Gedola ain't achare biaklum, and that's it. Bo Yavam Ala Ketana, the Chazru Bala Gedola, or Shabal Kevala Gedola, then you pass on the Ketana. Whereas Rabbi Elazar goes back to his old ways, in which he says that, no, that is not, we always have that other wonderful option, don't we? Because what we do is what we said before. Melamdim et haketana shetema'in bo. Tell the ketana to be mema'enet in the yavam, and that way there will be no problem, because she nullifies the original marriage. And that way we can have the full kiyum of the yibum in the Gedola in that case. And that goes back to the mission that we had before. Now, taking this into consideration, let us turn back to today's Gemara and go directly to the sugya that we had left off yesterday. And that was the question of why is a ketana v'chareshet different? So this is three lines above the wide lines on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. And we'll start from the ketana v'chareshet, and we are confused. Why is it not exactly the same as a ketana and a ketana, or a chareshet and a chareshet, where the biatav of one of them, of course, I can't say the chalitza of one of them, because the chalitza of a chareshet is impossible because she can't speak. But what is the problem of their being different? So Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, listen, I once bumped into Rav Ada Bar Ava together with his son-in-law, Rav Chana, and they were Yatvek v'komekavo akvata b'shuka de pumpadita. They were sitting around, gathered, they were having this whole discussion in the middle of the shuk in pumpadita. People were gathering around to listen to this. This is everybody in town that was doing the daf yomi was very confused by this daf, obviously. And so they were all gathering around to hear what in the world is the explanation. So what they were saying was, and I disagreed with them, said Rav Nachman, but what they were saying was something very strange. They said, that is only true if the brother who was the deceased had married both this ketana and a chareshet. You know why it's different? It's different because since the Rabbanan gave into the hands of this pikeach the ability to marry someone to whom he really doesn't have kinyanim on. So basically we need to know which of these women was he really focused on more in taking as his full wife. That's the problem. We are not sure, because on the one hand, there's two very different issues over here. You're giving a guy two women to take, right? One of them is a ketana. Now, a ketana is obviously not going to be, unless you're a full Lolitaist, but she's not a ketana. She's not going to be as exciting a sexual partner as the gedola. However, she is going to grow up, and then she can also be your friend, and she can understand you when she grows up. And at that point, she'll be fully functional in every way. So that's one reason to prefer the ketana over a mentally deficient person. On the other hand, the Chareshet is already a full sexual partner. What does he prefer? Does he prefer the ultimate growing into a full partner, or does he prefer a current full sexual partner, but not a full friend as a partner? These are profound questions. I mean, it goes down to very intimate elements of human psychology. That's the question. So since we don't know, so because of that, it's not clear which one is the real wife. So if I b'ktana nechale, I b'chareshet nechale, he might want the ktana because the ktana is going to be growing up to be a full friend. The atel chlal dea. On the other hand, he may prefer the chareshet because she is fully mature sexually, ubad biyayi. But I can tell you one thing, that if the brother was also a cheresh, then there's no question whatsoever, because a cheresh definitely would want the chareshet, because he much prefers to have his own type. If he's a deaf mute, then he wants to be married to a deaf mute. He doesn't want to be in a position where he is an unequal partner. And therefore, I'm absolutely certain that if he himself was a cheresh, v'alei b'chareshet nechale, he prefers to have a full sexual partner. So first of all, she's a bat b'yad, she's not a ktana, and she's similar to him, ubat minehi. So he is okay with the fact that they're both the same type. They both use sign language. They both have a different way of looking at things because of that, and so on. And therefore, there would be no suffix. That's what they would say. Now, I, Reb Nachman, disagreed with them. And I said to them, Amina Luhu Ana, I don't believe that. I believe that even if the brother who died was a cheresh, afilu nafuli mi'achiv cheresh nani misapkale, because it could be that he would find it preferable to invest in a marriage which ultimately will provide him a partner who is legally fully competent and so on. So maybe he wants that. You can't say that necessarily the comfort of having someone who's like him means that that's what he wants necessarily to marry. Okay, now we get to the crunch. The crunch is, how does all of that affect the relationship in which we need to determine what are we going to do? Because if you don't explain to me how we can deal with both of these women, then we are really going to be faced with a human tragedy over here. Ketzata kanatan. What can we do for them? You're saying I cannot do the bia of one to pater the other. Okay, so what do I do then? I can't take both of them. I can't take both of them, can I? So ketzata kanatan. Because if one does not pater the other one, and there's the additional problem. Normally, I wouldn't have a problem, because if one doesn't pater the other, I can simply give both of them chalitza. They go away and they marry somebody else, right? But I cannot do chalitza here. That's the problem. Because the chareshet is incapable of chalitza because she cannot speak. Okay, so what do I do? I can't do both of them with chalitza. If I go ahead and I'm miyabem, you say, okay, so fine. So go be miyabem the chareshet, right? I can't do that either. Because the moment that I do the chalitza for the ktana, I can't do the chalitza while she's a ktana, but I can wait till she grows up. The moment that she grows up and gets chalitza from me, I'm going to have to get rid of my wife, who I took as the chareshet. Because remember, that's the next Mishnah that we just learned, that if you actually, since one of their marriages, the ketana, is going to be able to pasul the other one, because now if I do chalitza, so kivan shelo bana shuv lo yivneh, that happens afterwards. I gave chalitza to one of them, and now I want to take the other one to bed because she's been married to me for 3 years. We say to that man, excuse me, sir, you can't sleep with that woman because kivan shelo bana, didn't you just give chalitza to your brother's wife? So what are you going to do now? You're going to change your mind and now be bona? You can't do that. You see, we're in a pickle. So the bia of the chareshet is not going to be able to pater the katana because it doesn't take off the zika. So then if we'll do chalitza, the katana, we're going to ruin the marriage of the chareshet. Good Lord. So what are we supposed to do? Omar, Rav, I'll tell you what you do. There is something to do in this case. Omar of Chista, I'll tell you what Rav said. Rav said what you do is you do take the chareshet, but then you can give a get to the chareshet. So what you do is you take her first, and then because the chalitza of the ketana is going to aser her on you, but a get is given ba'al korcha, so you can give the get to the chareshet, and then she's going to be allowed to marry whoever she wants. Midrabanan, of course, but there won't be a problem of the Yavam al-Ashuk, right? And that would be, afterwards, would then allow you to do chalitza to the ketana as soon as she grows up. Perfect. Omer of Chista. So now here is where we get to the crucial moment. Omer of Chista, what this proves is that Rav basically, now I want you to know that some of the Achronim believe that this statement of Rav Chista is meant to undermine the whole business of Rav Ada bar Av and Rav Chana, who were claiming that we weren't sure which one he wants as a wife. And you understand that that explanation was horrific. Because what difference does it make which one he wants as a wife? Would you say that if a guy is married to two women, one of them he's been fighting with for 5 years and they're in divorce court, but the divorce hasn't gone through, and the other one, his other wife, he loves her, he goes everywhere with her, and then he dies before he gets a chance to divorce, is there a reason that the Yibam would take place with the one that he loves and not with the one he wanted to divorce? What difference does it make what his preference is? And how would a preference influence the level of a Kenyan Midrabanan? That is like a weird kind of idea. The Rabbanan gave levels of Kenyan depending on your preference? So, I mean, over there, we would have to say that since the selection is a one-way idea when it comes to a Cheresh, so maybe over there, the intent of the selection, the importance of selection, I don't know. I mean, whatever pshat you're going to say, it's a problematic pshat. Whereas what Rav Chista is now coming along to explain in Rav has the additional value of explaining to us the mechanism, the reality of how these kinyanim work in different ways to create the situation in the Mishnah that we just learned about. And therefore, says Rav Chista, let me explain to you what Rav holds. It's clear that the kinyan of these two women is a different type of kinyan. I insist that the difference is in this direction, that Rav holds that the chareshet is knuya umishuyeret. She's like a 50% kinyan. You can't have a full kinyan on her because she doesn't have das. The Rabbanan created a semi-kinyan. Masha Einkein, the creation of the katana, because as the Rambam said, that is basically there as a temporary, possibly to grow into a full kinyan. That is a kinyan that is defined as knuya ve'ena knuya. And that is the way that it works. And that's the only way that it works, that the katana we view as being, on the one hand, possibly total kinyan, possibly zero kinyan. Because here's my logic. It's obvious that you cannot possibly say that both of them are semi-kinyanim. Because if it were semi-kinyanim, then you should be able to take one and that will affect the other one equally. The same way it did when there were two women who were katanais or two women who were charoshais. We said whatever you do, one is effective for the other. So if they're both the same kinyan, so that should be true if you're married, both the brother, I mean, was married both to a katana and to a chareshet. But the Mishnah says clearly that that is not the case. Now, you also cannot say that, well, maybe the Rabbanan were mitakein a suffix kind of kinyan, kinuya ve'eno kinuya, to both of them. You can't say that either because of the second Mishnah that we just read. Because over there it says that if he was Ba'al HaKtana and then he was Ba'al HaChareshet, so then the halacha would be that Pasal et HaKtana, Ba'al HaChareshet v'chozer Ba'al HaKtana, Pasal et HaChareshet, and if the halacha was that there is a suffix, so then that's ridiculous. Both cases would be able to, whatever girsa we have is not important, because the point would be that if in either case we have a suffix, then we have a mamon of shach that allows him to stay with the first woman that he took. And that would make it impossible for pasul. Because if we view this kinyan of knuya ve'eno knuya as the equivalent of a suffix, the second one will never pasul the first one. Because basically, ein achar b'yaklum, if it was a kinyan. And if it's not a kinyan, then there never was a chiyuv of yibum in the first place. And they're not even sarot. So how could one pasul the other one? So therefore, they cannot both be semi-kinyanim, and they cannot both be kinuya ve'ena kinuya. That's the bottom line. Now, I'm going to tell you that assuming that those are the only two options, I'm going to tell you, says Rav Sheshi, the directions that Rav says that Rav is going in, because we see clearly that the one that is a 50% kinyan is the Charesha, and the Ketana is the one that is suffix, so to speak, knuya ve'eno knuya. And that's the reason that I have to give a get to the Charesha, because if afterwards I'm going to do chalitza to the Ketana may be a absolute kinyan, and therefore she is going to pasul the chareshet because she is in a position of being a real kinyan, and the chareshet is only a 50% kinyan. So that explains, as far as I'm concerned, both the difference between the chareshet and the ketana, and the direction of this difference, because it is impossible to see it any other way. And let me explain to you why. The Isak Adaita Chareshet Knuya Ve'ena Knuya, and the Ketana is the one who's Knuya Umishuyeret, and you want to make that distinction in that direction, so then why would I have to go ahead and Chareshet, I would have to be boiled the Chareshet, and then I would have to give a get to the Chareshet. Why would I need to give a get to the Chareshet? That makes no sense. She should be able to stay with him forever. Maman of Shach. If we're going to call her Knuya, you're telling me that the suffix was about the Chareshet, right? Okay, so if she's Knuya, so then Ein Achar B'yaklum, and she's his full wife. If she's not Knuya, then she was never a Yavama. So she's a Nochris B'alma. Now, you're going to tell me, well, now, wait a minute. I mean, so if that's the case, then if he marries, and this is like a very serious problem, he says over here that Rav suggested that the Ketana has to wait until she grows up and gets Chalitza. So you'll ask me, excuse me, didn't you just say that the Ketana is Knuya Ve'ena Knuya? So let him take the Ketana, and then he'll be able to keep the Ketana forever. Because I would say, let him be Tetev Gabe. If she is Knuya, Ein Achar B'yaklum, she's Knuya. And if she's not Knuya, so then she was never the Avam in the first place. She's a Nuchrita B'alma, so what's the problem? You're 100% right, says Rav Chisda. But then what is the Chareshet going to do? Don't you understand? The point over here is that Rav was trying to provide a solution for these two women. What is the solution? There is no solution the way that you're describing this. Nothing. Because she's going to be stuck. B'mat tepuk. Oh, says Rav Sheshes, you know? This approach of Rav Chisda is really the way to go. And you can see it from the Braita, you know? Halchi nami mistavra, it really makes so much sense the way that Rav Chisda just explained it. Because the issue over here is, look, I have nothing to do for the Chareshet. I can't give her Chalitza. And what am I going to do once I take the Ketana? I can't do anything. I can't marry her and I can't give her Chalitza. So I'm really lost. that's definitely the way to go. All right. Because look, the Tanya, take a look at the Braita. Shnei achim nesuim, shtei achayot yetomot. So we've got two brothers who are married to two sisters. One of these sisters is a ketana, and one of these sisters is a chareshet. So now, if the husband of the ketana dies, then the chareshet goes out with a get, the way we just described it, and the ketana waits until she grows up, and then she gets chalitza. So, okay, that's what we said before. The zik of the ketana makes it impossible for him to keep the chareshet, because if she's kenuya legamre, so she has to be yotze beget. The ketana, on the other hand, is going to be in a position in which she basically is going to require, since she is a kenuya ve'ena kenuya, so if made ba'ala, shalachareshet, then the ketana would be yotze beget, but the chareshet would be asura forever and ever, because there's nothing that I can do in such a case. And I'm going to explain to you why I feel that this is a raya. So basically, it says over here, if made bala shalachareshet ketana yotze beget, the chareshet is asura liolam. Now, what if he was bala chareshet? He gives her a get and she becomes muteret. If he did. Okay. Now here's my point. If the halacha is that a chareshet is knuya umishuyeret, which is what Rav Chisda said, and the ketana is knuya ve'ena knuya, that explains why if he sleeps with the chareshet, he can give her a get and then she is all a okay. And he gives her that get because memanav shach. If the ketana is kenuya, so then she is not a problem, because if the ketana is kenuya, she's an achot isha, and an achot isha wasn't chayevet in yibum, and therefore she is able to marry whoever she wants. If the ketana is not kenuya at all, then when he had married the chareshet, it was a kosher yibum. That's why she can marry now. But if you don't agree with the way that Rav Chisda worked it out, so now consider what the implications of that would be. If you're going to say that a chareshet is the one who is maybe kanui, maybe eno kanui, meaning that that's the type of kinyan, and the ketana is the one who is a 50% kinyan, so then if he goes ahead and he's bala chareshet, it says over here he gives a get and she's muteret. How could he give a get and she's muteret? He can't give again and she's mutaret because it is a bia psula. And remember that we said before, bia psula lo patra, because in any case where you have a bia that is not a bia that we know is mukhuyevet for this yibum and is able to take off the zika, that type of bia will not be matir for the world. And therefore, why does it say she's allowed to go ahead and get married if you just give her a get? It'd be a psula lo pater. In which case, we have no choice but to say it's got to be the other way around. It's definitely not a bia psula. It's either a bia kshera, because the ketana is not kenuya, or it's a total yibum. That's all. It's either a total yibum or she's totally unrelated. There's no other way to see it. I think that this proves Rav Chisda's contention. So it's not necessarily. Because remember, before we had a machlokas, whether bia psula is poteret or not. And this is going possibly a little bit Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia says a bia psula paters her from chalitza. Says the Gemara, can't be Rabbi Nechemia. Because then take a look at the next piece. Mishaya nasui shtei yetomot ktana v'chareshet. A guy has two wives. One is a ketana and one is a chareshet. And he dies. Bayavam ala ketana first, and then he's chazur bala chareshet, where his brother was bala chareshet. Or, in that case, nesru shtehem alav. They're both become osur on him in that case, and therefore, what shall be done in such a case? So, ketzat takanatan, what is it that we're able to do to allow them to marry other people? Do we do anything for them, if they can't remain married to him, so what in the world can be done to be matred them to others in this case? The solution can only be that what we do is the Hareshet goes out with a get, and the Ketana, she needs to get Chalitza. Besides that, so because she can't, there's no way that we can be matter her. Now explain to me what is going on over here. Why are we saying that? So if you're going to tell me that a Chareshet is Kenuya Mishuyeret, the way Rav Kista says, and the Ketana is a either Kenuya totally or not Kenuya at all, and you hold of the Rabbanan and not Rebbe Nechemya, and a Bia Psula does not passel, then everything makes sense. The Brice is saying you have to wait until she grows up, the Ketana, and then you do Chalitza. Why is that? Because if you're going to tell me that she doesn't have to do Chalitza, then people are not going to understand what's going on, and they're going to think that no matter what, let's say that you first went ahead and were boiled the Chareshet, that you would assume, in that case, where the Bia of the Ketana is a Bia Psula, and you are going to assume that if I allow her to go ahead and get married without Chalitza, they will not understand that in the case of a Bia Psula, you're not going to pater the Ketana from Chalitza. So because of that, there's a reason to understand that. We would have a Takana that you first have to do Chalitza no matter what, whether the Yavam had actually taken the Ketana first or whether he had taken the Chareshet first because of this Gezerah. We don't want a Bia Psula to be assumed to be enough to pot. But if you're going to tell me that the Tana here is going Aliba to Rebbe Nechemya, a Bia Psula is enough to potter. So why does the Ketana have to do Chalitza if he went ahead and he was Ba'al HaKetana originally? There's no reason for her to have to do Chalitza. Elashmamina, it's got to be that the Brice is going Aliba the Rabbanan. And therefore, the one who is a Miktsas Kinyan, meaning Knuyo Mishuyered, has got to be the Chareshet. And the other one, who is the Ketana, is the one which is Knuya Veina Knuya, which is exactly what Rav Shesha said. And therefore, Shmamina, that's the right way to learn it, and that Rav is right. Omer Rav Ashi, you don't have to go all the way to this case to prove that he's right. You know immediately from the first case in the Braita that he's right. I'll tell you how I know it. Because why did it say over there that if he was Ba'al HaChareshet, which he's not allowed to do, right? But it says over there that if he went ahead and he was over, and he did sleep with the Chareshet, which he wasn't supposed to do because maybe basically the other one was married. No tein la get v'hutra. Okay, why didn't it say the opposite case? Why didn't it say if he was Ba'al HaKitana that he has to give her get and then she's allowed to marry anybody that she wants? Why? Apparently, there's only one good reason why, because we're not going Aliba and Rebbe Nechemya. In which case, if the Yavam was over and he went ahead and was Ba'al HaKetana, it wouldn't be enough to give her a get. Why not? Because it's a Bia Psula. So she would also need Chalitza, don't you see? And therefore, he didn't have an Eitzah to say you could just give her a get and she can marry anyone she wants, because you can't give her a get. Because the Bia was a Bia Psula that you weren't allowed to take her. But that's only true Aliba de Rabbanan. It's not true Aliba de Rebbe Nechemya. Aliba de Rebbe Nechemya, once you were Baalea, even though it was Beyisr, because you already had the Chareshet, you could just give her a get, and then she would be Muteret. Because if you ended up sleeping with her, you removed the Zika. So therefore, it's clear what you were saying, yes, I agree, that of course it's the Rabbanan, not Rebbe Nechemya, but there's no need to prove it from the end. You can prove it right away from the beginning. No, you can't prove it from the beginning. because you're trying to prove something from the fact that the Tana didn't offer that option. But there's a reason why he didn't offer that option. There's nothing to do with whether Biapsula is possible or not. Imishumha lo iron. That is not a raya at all. Because it's very possible the Tana is Rabbi Nechemia. And in fact, a Biapsula will pass. The reason that I didn't mention that you could, in the event that you did the Isser of sleeping with the Katana, is because I don't need to talk about that case. You see, in the case of a Chareshet, I do not have any way at all to make her kosher to marry. She's a Asura Le'olam because I can't give her Chalitza. And therefore, once I've already have this problem with the Katana, I have no way to be matir her. So because of that, since she doesn't have any Takona de Hetera, so therefore it says, look, Lamaisa, if the guy went ahead and slept with her anyway, so then he can give her a get. Okay. Yes. That makes sense. Why should I mention that about the Katana? The Katana, there's an easy approach to take care of the Katana. How? Wait until she becomes the Gedola and give her Chalitza. So why should I mention this case that in the event that it was done by Isser and he went ahead and slept with her and given her a get? I'm not going to do that because it doesn't really add anything. And therefore, Lotani Takanta the Isura at all. So that explains the difference between the Katana and the Chareshet. It explains as well why it is that we do things in this order because we're trying to help. It's not because there's no alternative. There are alternatives, but then we leave the Chareshet out in the cold because she cannot do Chalitza. And it also leaves open the question of Rabbi Nechemia or the Rabbanon in terms of the Biapsula, other than the fact that we made this Gezera because people might think that a Biapsula is sufficient. What I'd like to do is really to get a broader perspective and a grip on this entire sugya, because it's been a very, very difficult sugya. And in order to make sure that we have it right, I'm going to go over the Mishnah with you first. On Daf Kuf Yud Aleph at the bottom of Amud Aleph. We'll go through it again quickly, but now that we know all of the klolim and we understand the issues that are involved, I think it'll be very useful to have a chazara, and then we'll do the Gemara on that Mishnah so that we could finish up Kuf Yud Aleph, and then we'll start at the next Mishnah. Okay, so once again, what we're going to do is review. So the Mishnah begins on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Misha Yan Nasir the Shteyim Tomot Kitanot. So a guy is married to these two little girls that are B'divrei Sofrim. They did not have a father, where the father was a B'chayei Ha'av. He was considered to be already not a father L'Halacha because he had already married her off. And so whatever the case was. And he dies without any children. And these two Yitomot Ktanot, of course, are unrelated to each other. There's no problem. The Yovam goes ahead and he takes Yitoma number one. And then he goes and he takes the second one, or his brother went ahead and took the second one. He continues to keep the first one. And why is that? Because the way we understood it is that a din of a Ketana is that she is considered to be the equivalent of a Suffolk. Knuya, Ve'ina Knuya. So either she's Knuya totally, or she's not Knuya at all. So since over here, both of them are Yitomot Kitanot, Mamonivshach, if you consider her Bia to be an actual Kinyan, so fine. Then it's a complete Bia, and Halacha is Ein Acher Bia Klum. And then whatever he did with the second one is none of our business. That was a Bia Znut, and had nothing to do with the Yibam, and we completely ignore it. And on the other hand, The second one, however, of course, he can't keep because we have the Mamonavshach for the first one. And if it's not a Kenyan at all, so then Bechlau, he's not even Chayav and Yibo because they were never his brother's wife on that side. Nonetheless, you cannot keep the second one because it will be a Biatznus because maybe the first one was a Kenyan. So that's very straightforward. Now, in a case, V'chein Shtei Charshot, So here he has two charashot. Now that's not, even though it's same halacha, it's not for the same reason. Because as we understood yesterday, the idea over there is that even though we have a halacha, that we have a kinyan umishuyeret, in this case, if the boy yovam halachas mehem, and then he's baal hashniya, or his brother was baal hashniya, he will not pasul the rishonah, not because of a monofshach, he will not pasul the rishonah, because the two kinyanim were complete equivalents, because they were both kanoi umishuyar. And therefore, since they're the same, we can apply the halacha of ein acher bia klum, even in this case, because it will be the same darga of bia. So, how about in a case where he's married? This is where things got complicated. He's married to one ketana and to one chareshet, and he dies. So then, if the yavam is baal haketana first, and then he's chazar ubaal hachareshet, so then he was not posel the ketana, because remember, if the bia of the ketana is considered to be a kinyan, so then it's a complete kinyan in ein acher bia klum. If you're going to call the bia ketana not a kinyan, so then it's not really a yavama at all. So why can't he keep her? It had nothing to do with the other one at all. And therefore, there should be no problem. Now, the question over here on the girsa, on this particular part, I mentioned to you in passing, we do have a question on the Girsa. Gersha, you're wondering where the heck we are. And what we're doing is a review so that we're in the middle of the Mishnah again. And this time we're going to get all of the Shitas right, the simple reasoning right, instead of doing it piecemeal so we can see the entire thing. So anybody who came late, we are holding still in the middle of the Mishnah that began on Kuf Yud Aleph and Amud Aleph. We're going through Amud Beis. So there's a question over here as to what the din would be on the ketana, because Rashi's girsa is he did pasul the ketana, but only because, as Rashi understands it, of a chashash that in the event that he would have been baal hachareshet and then on the ketana, over there, as we're about to see, he would pasul her. So Rashi says that the reason that the Mishnah had the girsa of pasal et haketana was because of that gezeira, because people are not going to realize that there's a major difference between first taking the ketana and then taking the chareshet, where you're allowed to keep the ketana, whereas the chareshet will need a get, because the bia of a chareshet is not on the same darak as the bia of a ketana, which is considered to be a real bia on the tzad that she's a kinyan. So the other girsa doesn't worry about that gezeira that maybe people will get confused. So me'ikar adin, in the ketana v'chareshet, he would be able to keep the ketana, and maybe even halacha l'maisa he's able to be ketana, or maybe halacha l'maisa we have a gezeira. Okay, that's fine. Now, the reason would be, as we continue, bo yavam ala chareshet first, and then ba'ala ketana, or his brother was ba'ala ketana, then he would pasul the chareshet, because remember, the ketana may be a 100% bia. That's the way we look at that kinyan. And we know for a fact that the chareshet is only, let's say, a 50% kinyan. She's knuya umishu yeret. So therefore, they're on the tzad that the ketana is knuya lo, so then she obviously is going to pasul the chareshet, which is only a miktsas kinyan. And therefore, he pasul the chareshet, and he's not allowed to continue to keep that chareshet, because maybe the bia de ketana is a complete bia. So in the event that there's a pikachat and a chareshet, let's get all our cases straight. So this guy is married both to a pikachat and a chareshet, then the halacha is that if he dies, that the yavam was bala pikachat, and then he's bala chareshet, or Achiv was bala chareshet, obviously there's nothing to discuss, because he was kene the pikachas with a complete kinyan, and therefore ein acharei bia klum. As far as the chareshet is concerned, that was completely znut. He had no right to sleep with her whatsoever, and therefore there is nothing that could pasul the pikachat. What is the din, by the way? That's an interesting question, because the Rambam says the din is that we give a get to the chareshet, which is, okay, big question why we would do that. Boy yavam ala chareshet. How about if the other way around? So then if he first is bala chareshet, and then he's bala pikachat, or his brother is bala pikachat, so over there, the kinyan of the chareshet is not really a 100% kinyan, because as we said, he's only kanui and mishuyar. The kinyan of the pikachat, which was the second kinyan, is a 100% kosher yibum. And as we said, because of that, we have a bia that was for sure afterwards and is definitely going to passel his ability to maintain his relationship with Chareshet, which he's really not a yavam. On the other hand, the pikachat is going to need a get also because it's a bia psula, because remember, a bia that is minarabonan psula, it's still a bia psula, is not considered to be a kinyan gomer, and because of that, he's in trouble. Suppose he's married to a gedola and a ketana, and then he dies. And then boyova mala gedola, v'chazar uba alaktana, or the brother is ba alaktana. In that case, obviously, the gedola is a complete kinyan, and that is a diaraisa. The moment that he was miyabem, the diaraisa, enach rebia klum. This is the same exact situation where one of them was a pikachat and one of them was a chareshet. Over here, one of them is a gedola and one of them is a ketana, and it's exactly the same halacha. The moment that the yibum is mekuyam as a total yibum, enach rebia klum, and basically forget about it. He certainly was not kena the gedola. The bia haktana was just plain old sex for fun and had nothing to do with the heter of yibum and was totally usher. And now, if the other way around, if he was ba laktana first with the brother, now he goes and takes the gedola, the brother takes the gedola, then we've got a problem because then he passed the ketana because remember, the kedushin of the ketana is only knuya ena knuya. And therefore, what we have is both of them become Usher, Rabbi Elazar. Now, in the previous case where we had this idea, we had Rabbi Eliezer, who said the same thing in the other case. Let me remind you, please don't get confused because things are really getting clear and settled in our minds. We had another case where we had a problem. The problem was that in this case, it's only one brother who's married to two women. But in the case we had earlier, we had two brothers who were married to two sisters, and one of them was a gedola, and one of them was a ketana. And the one who had married the gedola died. So now the one who's married to the ketana has got a real problem, because the gedola is his real yavama. And he is in a pickle because he's married minarabonan to her little sister. But that's only minarabonan. So now he cannot do his mitzvah of yibum. So what do we do over there? So remember, in that case, we had Rebbe Eliezer. Now, Rebbe Eliezer is Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanis. Over here, the Gers is Rebbe Elazar. That's Rebbe Elazar ben Shamoa. No connection between them. But they both say the same thing. In that case, our Gers was Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer ben Shamoa, Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanis said that we should tell the Ketana, why don't you go and tell your husband you don't like him. So then, if we promise her a lollipop, she walks out of the marriage, annuls the marriage, and now her previous husband is allowed to take the older sister and be mekayim his mitzvah, which is a deoraisa, and that's a wonderful idea, says Rebbe Eliezer. In this case, it's somewhat similar, because over here we're talking about where we had the case of a single brother, and he had this gedola v'ketana, and he had gone ahead, and he was ba al ha-ketana, and now he's got a problem, because after was his chazur ba la gedola, now he's not going to be able to keep her. So what do we do? So in this case, says Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa, the same thing that before Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanis said, tell the ketana to be mima enet, and then he will be able to remain with the gedola, and that is a desirable solution. Now, it's not quite the same, and the Gemara is going to be discussing this. It's not quite the same, because in this case, he already was miyabem this woman, correct? So since he was already miyabem her, what's the big deal? I thought we don't like doing miyun. Nonetheless, we're saying, do miyun so that you can keep the yavama. So obviously there are advantages in keeping the yavama because the likelihood of pregnancy is greater and he continues to be mekayim the shem la'achiv. But nonetheless, it's not on the same darga as where we actually need to create the mitzvah of yibum, which otherwise he wouldn't be able to be mekayim at all. Bidiyaraisa. Okay, this will discuss the difference between them. And the question is, by the way, again, the side issue, is he only referring Rabbi Elazar to this last case, or was he going even back on the case of the Chareshet and the Ketana, that we would still be Malame the Ketana to be Mamayin? Because there's another Girsa that has Bikulan Malamdim Ota Lama'ein. The two brothers there with their Sesame Street games. This is already getting out of hand. Usually you give us a couple of days before this starts. Now, please refocus, especially older brother who's supposed to be keeping a record of all of the new configurations. And I hope you've been doing that because I stopped writing it down to send to you. I've been over the past couple of weeks. I keep telling you, make sure that you add this and this musak. If you've been a bum and haven't doing that, you're in major trouble.
I currently have
inserted a very dangerous agent who's right behind you right now. And in the event that your answer is no, uh-oh. All right. All right. Fine. So that's a question, whether we would also even include the Ketana v'Chareshet in this case. But the point is that we've got something similar to what we did, what we had before. Okay. So now in this case, let us now move on. This is a beautiful review of the entire issues of the interrelationships, the differences between a Ketana, a Chareshet, in terms of the type of Kinyan, what happens when both of them fall, is there a relationship of Isser ex post facto, in which cases would be Chayev Get, and so on. Now, the next parak is going to begin with Richie's introduction later, where we will be going through again all of the variations in cases from a slightly different perspective, which will allow us to solidify the thoughts that we've had so far. But let's just clarify now the Gemara on the Kufiyat Aleph Amud Beis, and Benny's going to put all this into yesterday's daf and speed it up a bit so that we can have the complete daf. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the truth is we paskin like Rabbi Elazar. And this is really interesting because, I mean, we already had that, except over there, of course, it was Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Elazar, which is a bit confusing, especially since they say exactly the same words. So it definitely is a bit confusing. Okay, but over here, we go Alibid Rabbi Elazar, and not only that, but Rabbi Elazar says that the halach is like Rabbi Elazar, which, of course, is even more confusing. But once again, we're referring over here naturally, as we had before, that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, the Amora, says that we should paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa, who was the Tana in the Mishnah, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer, which was in the previous Mishnah, where we also had Rabbi Elazar paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, I'm sure you have this all straight by now. And essentially, it seems to be the same thing that we said before, because before we all, even though it was Rabbi Eliezer over there, but he said the same thing. And Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, was Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, both said the same psak in that case. And why do we need to repeat the psak in the two cases? So remember, we've got the case over here of one brother being married to the Ketana and the Gedola. And the question is, can we teach the Ketana to be Mima'enet so that he can keep the Gedola instead of messing her up by taking the Ketana? Or that case was where he was married to the Ketana and the brother who died had been married to the Gedola and he was unable to do the Yibum because he had this Rabbonin relationship with the Ketana. And over there was Rabbi Eliezer who said, why not just tell her to be Mima'enet? And that way he'll be able to go and to take the Ketana. Now, seems to be the same idea, which is, do we do Miun where it's necessary for the mitzvah and so on, right? So ask the Gemara, why do we need both of these cases? Vitzricha. We do, in fact. The e itmar, baha kamaita. Let's say we had it in the case where we had the two sisters married to two brothers. That was the original case that we had before, which was Rebbe Eliezer's psak. Well, maybe the reason I would have thought that Shmuel and Rebbe Eliezer was saying that the halacha is Rebbe Eliezer is because you had never done the mitzvah yibum and you were unable to do the mitzvah yibum because the gedola falls to you and you're sitting there. Okay, what the heck do I do now? I can't take her. And Mashenkin over here, remember the situation was he slept with both of them. And that was the problem, that now the Ketana was ushering his ability to be Mekayim the Gedola, right? Okay, so basically, if he already did the Mitzvah Yibum, we're not going to encourage a Miyun, because remember, we don't like to do Miyun, we said before. We don't like to do Miyun for the reasons that we explained. We were only doing it with Tzorach HaMitzvah. Over here, you already did the Mitzvah. So I would say, look, instead of telling her to do Miyun, just give both of them a get. It's not a disaster. You were Mekayim the Mitzvah. Masha'inke, let's say the Gemara. Therefore, we need to know that even over here, we will do Miyun. And if it had said in this case, I would say, okay, obviously in this case, we need to do the Miyun because the Gedela had already been part of his Chia for Yibam. There was no way to get out of the Yibam. He was able to take that Gedola. In the other case, there was no Yibam, because it was usher for him to be miyabim, because it was achot ishto mitarabanan. So I would say, okay, to do miyun, to create the mitzvah that I don't do, but to do miyun with, I don't know how you guys are not able, you guys are not concentrating, and it's really disturbing. This is an opportunity to get a difficult inyan clear. I understand that your relationship is very important, and everyone smiles at it and loves it to watch. Hinei ma tov u'manoim shevet achim gam yachad. But it's even more tov and noyim when they're able to be shevet gam yachad and smile in deep love out of learning the sugya.
He's just explaining to him miyun. He's not been part of the
Okay, but I understand, but you got to keep up. I know you're not really playing Sesame Street, of course. I know you're always learning. But concentrate as much as possible. Afterwards, you go over the whole sugya with him. Can't catch him up piecemeal-like, right? Okay. So, but it's a pleasure. Really is a pleasure watching you learn together. It's so wonderful. You can mamish see the Indian of the Pusik in Tehillim, Baruch Hashem, that anybody who sees it, it's matovu manayim to other people. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so I would say the Yibum couldn't take place in this case because it was usher right off the bat. So, okay, so then it can't take place. It can't take place. I don't mean to create a possibility. So, okay, so therefore I need to know that Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, Paskin, both like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer, in that in both of these cases, we recommend Miyun as the solution. And as I pointed out to you, even though we were already Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum, so why should we do Miyun? Because it's better for them to be able to remain married than to need again. Obviously, you could say, but technically it was already Mekayim Yibum. But doesn't the Torah want the Kiyum of Shem Achiv? And so that the longer that they can remain together, the happier the Torah is with the situation. So therefore, we will go to facilitate that by giving Miyun.